Welcome to episode 219 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on February 26, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, we're coming to you live from Microsoft Ignite in our offices, at our own houses in Florida, socially distanced from each other because COVID. But all that to say, we bring you an overview of our favorite announcements from Microsoft's Spring Ignite 2021. It has been a long week.
It has been a long week.
I'm tired. I have a lot of work to do. I overcommit too much. But we were talking. Maybe I should talk about that on here, Scott. I'm starting to get more work than I can handle. Any of our listeners are interested, send me a message in maybe picking up some contract work. I'm not going to promise anything. I'm not going to promise hours. Truth be told, I'm not even 100% sure what skills I would need yet. But IntelliJink is getting to the point where I am just barely, and some people would say I am not, keeping up with the amount of work I have. And I'm starting to consider, how can I start bringing some other people in to help? So I will throw that out to our podcast audience sort of first. I've talked to a couple other people about it, but anybody that's out there that might even have an inkling or is interested in talking, let me know, because this weekend I am going to try to sit down too and start defining some of maybe what I would be looking for in terms of some help and what type of skill sets and all of that. I will preface this with that in a given week, I have touched anything from Exchange migrations to Power Apps to Azure Synapse. How's that for a wide range of stuff?
It's like just a little bit.
Yeah. But aside from that, it is the Friday before Ignite. By the time this comes out, so we'll have Ignite.
By the time this comes out, it will be the Friday after Ignite.
Unless we release this early, but I don't know that. I don't know. No. Scott said no. Sorry if you're listening to this on Friday and you wish we would have done it earlier. Scott said no. It's Friday, Scott. It's Friday, Scott.
So anywho.
So what do you want to talk about?
Let me get you back on track, as it were. Let's go ahead and constrain that. You said Ignite is coming up, and that's true. So by the time this is released, Ignite will have happened. That was March 2nd through the 4th. This is Microsoft's Spring Ignite event, which is a little bit different. Like, normally we have Ignite once a year and it's in the fall. And now we just had Ignite in the fall back in October of 2020, which seems like about an eon ago. And now we've got Spring Ignite in March 2021. If you've gone through Ignite this year, it's not earth-shattering. Like, if you follow Microsoft and you follow what's going on, there were a lot of things that came out in preview back in September, October timeframe. So now, you know, we're getting to be about 5 to 6 months out. So those things are getting ready to GA and land in the real world. So this is a good opportunity for Microsoft to speak to those. And it's also a great time to get the next round of previews out the door. And kind of in this continuous release cycle of cloud computing, whether it's with Azure services or improvements to existing Azure services, Microsoft 365, you know, including Teams and SharePoint and all that stuff,
yep.
Dynamics, everything else. There is some things that are important for, you know, folks to understand what's coming and ultimately what's available to them, you know, based on some of these announcements that have come. I don't know where you want to start. Like, we could talk about some Azure stuff at Ignite. We can potentially talk about Microsoft 365 stuff, Teams, Azure Active Directory. Like, where do you want to go?
I thought you were going to put me back on the rails. So, Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud. Let's start with Teams, because there's a couple things there. There's one in particular that my initial scan through the news, I missed it. And then you were like, well, what is this? And I started reading it, and it is intriguing. To me, at least, to say the least. I don't know how this is going to change my day-to-day interaction with clients, but I think this may take a step in the right direction for people that are dealing with a lot of external users and trying to collaborate with external users and teams, and maybe even some internally. So Microsoft Teams Connect is one of those announcements that I found intriguing as I went back and read it more. So right now, what we have in Teams is if I want to go work with a client wants to work with me, I invite them into one of my teams, you actually have to switch tenants. So for me, for instance, I go to like my orgs and everything in Teams. I have 20 different organizations connected with my work account that I can go jump into at any point in time if I'm collaborating with them. I've been invited as an external guest into one of their teams. But that being said, I am always jumping between tenants. Frankly, it's a pain. And everybody's known that for a while. So what Teams Connect is now it appears, based on some of the news and what we have been given, that you no longer, if you have a channel, so not a team, but a channel within a team that you want to collaborate with another user with, and it could be external or internal, you have channel sharing. So you invite another user, internal or external, to a channel. And then that channel is shared with them and actually shows up in the user's primary tenant. So you, Scott at Microsoft, share a channel from Microsoft with me at IntelliJink. Now it sounds like I only have access to that channel, not the whole team. And that channel shows up within my IntelliJink tenant. So I'm not tenant switching in order to get to this channel you've shared with me.
It's kind of like private channels plus. That capability to carve off a single piece of a team and not have the entire bucket going out to be consumed by the world. I think it'll be interesting to see like how this one manifests itself, because private channels still have their idiosyncrasies, right? There's caveats right. to support for apps and which tabs you can have in them and things like that. So getting clarity around, does this build off that private channels capability, or is this something new that potentially, like, even does this take away the need for a private channel? Like, if I can have more functionality with it, right? Like, is it a better way to execute this?
So I'm going to speculate that private channels will not go away. And I'll give you a couple of use cases, because this is like the inverse of private channels, right? Because with private channels, you invite somebody to the team, they have access to the entire team and all the channels by default. And then if there's something you don't want all the team members to see, you invite them, or you create a private channel and don't invite them to it. So all the channels by default, create a private channel if you want to hide something. This is essentially, it sounds like, hide the whole team by default, invite someone to only the channel you want them to see.
I guess I work on a lot of projects where that's the way private channels is actually being used. Like, people are creating a team. It's got a general channel that nobody ever talks in and nobody ever uses. And then it's 20 private channels, all with distinct groups and distinct operations and things like that along the
way. Got it. See, and I've done a few, I will think some of the training I have done, Alexa's talking to me. I don't know if she comes through in the background or not. But I have done a few of those trainings where they have a team for the class, for the training that we're delivering. And then they have several channels that are in there where it's like the general channel, and they maybe have like a networking channel, and they maybe have channels for different tracks or whatever it might be. They have five different channels that everybody that's taking the class has access to. And then they carve off like one private channel for the speakers that only speakers or only trainers or whoever it is has access to. And that's where I don't think private channels will go away, because there it's by default, everybody needs to be in this team. Everybody has to see all the channels for the different categories that may of activities that may take place during the course of the event or the training. But we do need one or two private channels for some of the organizers to collaborate and to share information kind of in the background during said event or said training.
Yeah. Maybe we can all have our cake and eat it too.
Yes. And I will say, I have been critical of private channels. I still don't like the way they're implemented, but I have started actually encountering use cases for them. And I was pessimistic on this one. Again, I still don't like the way they're implemented. I still wish they were implemented differently, but I've maybe started coming around a little bit in terms of seeing a need for them.
Like everything else, like it might not have a place in the world for all of us, but it has a place in the world for some of us. And that's the joy of SaaS. Like you build for everybody in the hopes that somebody uses some of it along the way.
Exactly. So there was another team. Oh, there was another Teams one that you were kind of intrigued with as well. Should we keep going down the Teams path?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's keep doing it.
All right. So presenter mode. Oh, time frame. Just if people are curious too. Private preview of Connect is, I think as of Ignite, private preview for that Teams Connect is open. Generally available later this year. Sometime in the next 9 months.
Targeting general availability by the end of calendar year 2021.
My announcement says it will be made generally available later this calendar year.
Yes. When you read things like that, I hear them differently in my head.
You
now having seen the way like everything gets made, it's timeline shift.
Okay. Anyways, continuing on. New Teams features available to help presenters deliver content more professionally and offer meeting participants dynamic experiences to keep them more engaged.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What is this, Scott?
If you're familiar with presenter view in PowerPoint, maybe you have like two screens on your computer, you do multi-monitor, and you go in and you start a PowerPoint presentation and you go into presenter mode, where your audience sees your PowerPoint presentation on whichever kind of screen you're maybe sharing out in Teams or Zoom or whatever it happens to be. And then on your second monitor, you see your slides with not only the current slide and kind of the next upcoming slide or the next upcoming animation. You've also got access to your notes. You can skip around between slides easily, all those kinds of things. Well, that presenter mode view is coming to Teams itself, which is actually really cool if you think about maybe being on like a single device. So if you're somebody who's been eking by the past, you know, year and a half of pandemic plus here, and you're still on a single screen, you've got just your laptop, or maybe you are somebody who in pre-pandemic times traveled and you're going to be traveling again in post-pandemic times, like single screen, now you can have presenter mode available directly within Teams. So if you go into Teams, rather than sharing your screen, go ahead and share the presentation itself, which has been a capability that's been there for a while. Now you'll be able to go into full-on presenter mode inside of Teams, which won't be just presenter mode for the PowerPoint itself. It will be presenter mode for the PowerPoint and things like your video feed, so you can see yourself talking, and the chat, which I think is super powerful as well. So you can kind of combine that all together. It's certainly going to be dense when it's on the screen, right? It's going to take up a lot of screen real estate to get this stuff on there.
Yep.
But when it's there, you're getting your content as a visual aid. You've got side-by-side views, which is maybe your video feed alongside your content built in automatically. Like maybe you use like OBS or Ecamm Live or something like that to do that today. Like, great. Now you can just ditch that extra software, not have the extra CPU, maybe make your laptop fans run that much more, just built into Teams and ready to go. And then, yeah, chat and all those kinds of things. So you're going to have presenter mode. You're going to have a new dynamic view that's kind of separate from presenter mode. But what dynamic view is, it will intelligently arrange meeting elements around your presentation. So it'll figure out like maybe where to place the gallery in regard to content. Like, can Teams automatically shuffle the view around so you maybe have more natural eye contact, things like that along the way, which is kind of cool. And then there's also a new capability, which not new, it's been in preview, but PowerPoint Live in Teams is now GA. So if you are somebody who does share your full desktop in a virtual meeting, then you're going to have some more options there as well. So kind of like presenter mode, PowerPoint Live gives you access to meeting chats. You know, you can allow attendees to navigate at their own pace, all those kinds of things.
Yeah, and there's some new stuff coming too, it looks like. There's some new options coming, Standout, which is shows the speaker's video feed in front of the shared content. So I don't know if it's going to be like green screen-ish, where it's going to be super big, because they have that coming. And they also have, they had Reporter. I think Reporter I'm envisioning bigger. And then they had, I lost it in my notes here. And then Side Speed in front of the shared Reporter, which shows it as a visual aid like above the speaker's shoulder. So there's Standout, there's Reporter, and then there is Side by Side, which would do like a half screen for each of them or something like that, or maybe a little thumbnail with the content next to it. But there's going to be some more of those different layouts coming as well in that presenter mode, where you can kind of pick where your video is going to be, how it's going to look. Like, the Standout sounds like it's like weatherman mode, where I can have a whole big PowerPoint behind me and I can point here and here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, it does sound a little bit like weatherman mode. That's a good way to frame it.
So that'll be interesting. Here's what I would love to see. Can I like go on my wish list for what this is eventually?
Sure.
Because it sounds like, well, weatherman mode with content, it sounds like it may be the desktop. It's just whatever shared content you have. The one thing I would love to see is a lot of this PowerPoint presenter mode. I love the PowerPoint presenter mode. I love to be able to share my PowerPoint from within Teams, but I don't ever do it because a lot of my presentations, I'm flipping back and forth between a shared desktop and a shared PowerPoint. And if you do the native PowerPoint sharing, like we were talking about in Teams, where you upload it, you click share PowerPoint within Teams, and you get the nice presenter view of PowerPoint in Teams, it's not as easy to jump to the desktop and share the desktop and then jump back to your presentation and kind of pick up where you are. Like, wouldn't it be really cool?
It's not. It's a whole motion you have to go through, right? You need to stop sharing the presentation and then go share your desktop and hop back over.
And then jump back to where you are. Wouldn't it be cool if they had like a lot of this, and maybe this is what presenter mode will get us, but where they almost had like an OBS type interface within Teams where you could transition between different sharing elements and all of that without having to do like a stop share and reshare. You could just set up ahead of time, here's my desktop sharing, here's my PowerPoint sharing, and you could just kind of transition between those a lot smoother from that presenter mode. There's my wish list.
I see a lot of this stuff helping out in situations where you maybe don't have multiple screens. You don't have your laptop if you're an on-the-go person plugged into an external monitor, or if you're sitting at home on your desktop and you don't have multiple monitors. This kind of helps out. For me personally, having access to multiple monitors, whether it's two or three at the same time sometimes, like I might still do desktop sharing where I can do things like, you know, again, it's highly like presentation dependent, right? I think you and I give presentations that have lots of demos and particularly live demos that like they necessitate you hopping out to a web browser or over to a command line, something like that. So in that case, you might want to have the monitor that you're sharing, the display you're sharing, show your full screen presentation and then have a different virtual desktop or a space or something queued up with all your other content that you need. So you can hop back and forth seamlessly between those two virtual desktops from that monitor without having to go back and do the stop sharing, start sharing, or the OBS thing if you're doing that. right?
Yep.
There's lots of options out there. And like I said, I think this will be awesome for someone potentially like me in the world where airplanes become a thing again, you know, where I could give a more meaningful presentation from a customer site or from, you know, a hotel, whatever it happened to be.
I do want to try standout mode though. Can you imagine if we were presenting the YouTube video here and I could do like, except I'm going to get all confused. I could have like my script up here and I could start pointing to like this line and this line and this line and like point over my shoulder to the lines of my terminal window that I'm sharing out or describing PowerShell, or I could be like circle or point to the browser right here.
Yes.
In my browser here.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be kind of fun.
From now on, standout mode shall be weather presenter mode to you. I got it.
It's going
to
be weather presenter mode, standout mode. It's
weather person mode.
Sorry. If I've ruined this, standout mode for me is going to be weather mode.
Perfect.
Oh.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email.
I think that was most of the good team stuff. I mean, there's some other stuff coming, some of the stuff. Like you said, there's a lot of stuff GAing at Ignite that has been in preview that we talked about before.
Yep. Here's some more stuff about Viva Connections and kind of how that integrates with the Teams desktop experience. There are some new announcements around support for webinars.
Oh, yes. I was looking forward to that one.
Which is kind of a cool one too. So I read this announcement and I thought not so much webinar support and people who do webinars being super happy, but those who are potentially in education tenants, like my wife's a teacher. And when they do remote presentations, the school district that my wife's in here in Florida, they use Teams. One of the biggest complaints that I hear from her and her teachers or her coworkers all the time is they do these presentations with kids and they love being able to talk to their kids, interact with them and have them on microphones and get that natural interaction, but they super want to be able to mute everybody at once. And most importantly, they want to be able to shut off everybody's video. They don't want anybody to be able to come in and have to rely on a kindergartner to know how video in Teams works and turn that on and off. Because quite frankly, like I've seen some of the meetings she hops on some point and, you know, like parents do weird stuff in the background while their kids are in school. You'll see somebody walk by in their underwear and go like, you know, like your kid's like at school right now. That is something that happens and teachers don't like that. So webinar support, like that was one of the big things that I saw in there was that host controls are going to be coming, including the ability to disable attendee chat and video. So think like maybe like a Teams live event, but not a Teams live event. It's a regular Teams event where you can have all this other stuff going on, which was cool to see.
So is that what that's going to be? I couldn't tell from that if this is a Teams. So you think it's going to sound like this is just a normal Teams meeting with those controls coming?
I hope it is. Like that is 100% my hope, right? Because we do have Teams live events and all the other things. And then maybe over time, that all kind of coalesces and comes together.
Yeah, which would be nice because one of my big things is like Teams live events. I don't like the way that you only have Q&A. Like some of the live events, if I would do it more from a webinar perspective, I want to be able to have chat.
Yeah.
This is kind of that middle of the road of it gives you more controls than a Teams meeting, but more functionality than a live event. This would be really cool.
We'll have to see when that one does come out and what it looks like and kind of how Microsoft rolls it, if it goes through a preview or if it just pops out to GA.
Yeah. And for those of you that are using Dynamics, I was going to say paying for Dynamics.
Well, if you've got Dynamics, like, you're certainly paying for it. That is true.
This webinar functionality is going to start integrating with some of your Dynamics 365 marketing campaign stuff. So I have clients. I do know there are people paying for Dynamics and using it quite heavily. If you are using Dynamics and you do webinars for your company, there's also going to be some integration here where webinar contacts from those webinars will go straight into Dynamics for you. You're going to get a lot more interaction there. So as you do marketing webinars and all of that, there's not that, how do I get all these contacts from webinars into my CRM? I would love to see this integrate with more CRMs. Me, small businesses, we do not always like to pay for Dynamics because it's
a little pricey.
One, it's a little pricey and there's a lot there. Like, I don't need all the functionality of Dynamics yet. But if I could use webinars and have them import into something like an ActiveCampaign or a MailChimp or a Drip or a, what's the other big, Constant Contact, one of those for some of the small businesses, that there is nothing about that in here. So don't read into that. But I would love to see some of that come as well to this webinar feature. But I get them starting with Dynamics because Usage,
yeah.
And we will leave it at that.
And it might be easier to integrate with internal teams sometimes. But
yes.
So that probably takes us through a lot of the team stuff. How about a little bit of Azure and specifically Azure Active Directory and Identity?
Ooh, my favorite feature. I get to talk about it now.
You do. So let's talk about your favorite feature that is now generally available.
It is. And this one has been a long time coming. Frankly, long enough, I can't remember when it was announced. It's one of those where I remember them announcing it, and I remember going and turning it on. I want to say it's been like 2 years. I don't think it was Ignite last year.
It's been kicking around in various forms for a little while, but we should talk about what we're talking about.
So, what we're talking about?
Passwordless authentication. Yes, there you go.
Cue the celebration, the cheering. It is finally generally available. Employees at organizations, they activate it. They no longer need to use passwords to sign in. So this is going to tie into a few different things. They can sign in with a look, with a tap, Hello for Business, the Authenticator app, compatible FIDO2 security keys from certain partners, Yubico, Fidian, AuthenTrend, some more. Again, I've been using this just with my Authenticator app on my phone. I think it has been about 2 years now, where most of the time, because to be fair, it hasn't always worked all the time because it does depend some, I think, on what you're logging into. But when I log in, I put in my username. It says, here's the number. Go open up your phone and push this number on the phone. I get a prompt on my phone, pops up with three numbers. I select the number and it logs me in. I have absolutely no idea what my password is in Office 365 or in Azure AD. I have it saved. I could go find it in 1Password if I ever need to.
It's some crazy mess.
Oh, it is. And it's a long one. It's a long, complex password that I never want to have to type in ever. And I have had to use it. I've had to go copy it out of 1Password and use it. But being able to use passwordless, one, I think it's really nice and convenient for your users. No matter what method you're using, if you're using the Hello, the Visual, the Fingerprints, the Authenticator app, super convenient, and it does put you in a better security position because people don't have to use their passwords. They're not just changing one character or two characters every time they have to change a password, and you're able to enforce longer, complex passwords because once they set it, they can forget it. They're not always worried about picking one they can remember all the time to type in. So I'm really excited for this to GA and to continue to see where this goes, especially because I was working with Windows Hello for Business. We should talk about that. There's some interesting things there with Windows Hello for Business.
What's going on with Windows Hello for Business?
Well, it would take longer than we have today. I was working on it specifically with logging into Windows 10 and MFA authentication to Windows 10 to meet some of the NIST and CMMC requirements.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
For device security.
That's a different conversation. You are correct.
Yes, not one today. But if you would like to get away from your users typing in passwords to log into all things Azure AD, and even if you weren't looking to get away from it, you should go look to get away from it and go check out this passwordless authentication support and how you can go to it, because I think it's one of the greatest things ever in Office 365. It's one of my favorite features.
When it works, it is very good.
Yes.
When you are in a position where you can implement it, it is very good.
And by and large, I've had really good luck with it, except for that one time when it didn't work. But that was when MFA didn't work for anybody. So, that's the only time. And again, every once in a while, I do still have to type in my password. But this has been really solid for me, even through preview. And now it has GA'd. I don't see a date, though. I'm assuming it's like GA'd as of Ignite.
As of Ignite will generally be the way those things flow. Yes.
Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business.
So that is the one Azure AD security identity. I don't know that there were any other ones besides that one that jumped out at us, were there?
A lot of Azure things are kind of GAs, services been in preview for a while, or potentially kind of planned updates for other services, at least in the areas that you and I probably care about a little bit more. Like there might be some super exciting thing in, say, like AI or machine learning that I just know next to nothing about, and I'm not prepared to talk about it. A couple of things we talked about in the past. We talked about Azure Resource Mover. Azure Resource Mover is now generally available. That's a good one to see that get out the door. And now that it's GA, hopefully we can see more services added to that over time. So Resource Mover is a service that helps you move resources, not only between subscriptions, but potentially between tenants and things like that as well. So being able to holistically move your resources from one region to another, particularly if you have things like maybe say, we talked a couple weeks ago about new regions getting access to availability zones. And maybe sometimes you want to move into those regions because now they have those features because they're a little bit closer to you, like better latency, whatever your reason is for being there. You can use things like Resource Mover to help you execute that motion and get those things to where they need to be. So that one's good to see get out the door. Azure Arc for Kubernetes is now generally available. So that's a good one. You run Kubernetes on premises or on some other premises, but you want to have insights into things like cluster health, node health, potentially pod health, and kind of a single unified dashboard for that within Azure. Azure Arc will bring that together for you. And also ML is coming to Azure Arc. So Azure Arc machine learning is now in preview. So you can use Azure Machine Learning to target any Kubernetes cluster now for things like your model training. So that could be a Kubernetes cluster that's on premises, could be in some other cloud, like maybe you're doing like GKE or something like that. Nice and easy to onboard and get that to where it needs to be. And there was one other one. If you are a Windows Server administrator, do you remember like Windows servers?
Oh, yes. I was just looking at one of these that is kind of buried in the auto manage.
There's stuff kind of like buried all over the place.
So this one, while you're looking...
Well, I was just going to say, the Windows Server one was Windows Server 2022 is now available in preview. Insider editions are available. So if you want to go out and take a look at what's going on there, whether that's things like the way server is growing up around secured core server builds, using things like Windows Defender System Guard, any of the new virtualization security that's there. There's a couple of cool things that are coming along the way, especially for like hybrid management, because apparently hybrid's still a thing.
I want to go look at something. Can you join Server 2022, does it say, to Azure AD?
It does not say.
That's one. So I've run into this with some clients where if you want to manage, so you know how Windows 10, you can join it to Azure AD and you're starting to be able to push out ADMX templates and all of that. So not really group policy, but sort of group policy through Intune managed endpoints with Azure AD, with Microsoft Endpoint Manager. It works great for Windows 10 machines, but if you're starting to move servers into Azure, a lot of people still need DC running in Azure in order to be able to manage servers from a group policy perspective, from pushing out different policies to servers, all of those, because you cannot join Windows Server to Azure AD and use Endpoint Manager on Windows servers. So I was curious if Windows Servers 2022 was going to allow that, join it to Azure AD so we can get away from standing up a DC in Azure. But I don't see it on there.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's not coming, but it is not explicitly called out.
I won't even speculate on that one. I don't know about that one for you. Don't get your hopes up.
But there's a new auto-manage feature. Did you see that one buried in the auto-manage stuff?
There is some new stuff for auto-manage, yeah.
I want to know how this one's going to work. New capabilities in Azure auto-manage for Windows Server. Help customers enable rebootless security patching for new Windows Server VMs. You can now patch your servers without rebooting them, or at least security patches.
For patches that don't require a reboot.
These new enhancements allow for the deployment of security patches in seconds, helping protect servers against critical threats. And I'm assuming reboots, because reboots are usually because they have to patch a file that's in use and it's locked and they can't like just replace it.
Quite often, yeah. Yeah, if you're taking something like in the system core and trying to replace a DLL or things like that, it can be rough.
Right. I wasn't sure if this actually, if they somehow figured out a way around this in Azure where they like can have a snapshot that they instantly roll over to and like somehow do some type of rolling patching automatically in the background or something weird. Or again, if like you said, it's server, this is only for patches that don't require reboots. You can now auto patch.
I think that's good, but potentially more exciting is Linux is coming to auto manage as well. So major Linux distros like RHEL and Ubuntu and things like that are going to be supported in auto manage as well. So now you have a single pane of glass to manage security updates with auto manage across both Windows and Linux.
Very nice. I don't use Linux. I don't get as excited about that one, but
you might not use Linux, but there's like one or two people out there that do. Trust me on that.
There's a couple.
Yeah, just a handful.
Just one or two here or there. And Microsoft loves Linux and SQL loves Linux. No, I know there's a lot of people that use Linux. So I can definitely see for those people that use Linux of this being a big deal to get all of those in there.
I think that's probably good to kind of take us through. I think the other thing, I'll close on this note. There's lots of new things that are coming out, and there's always the kind of rah-rah around what's GA'd or what's new and in preview, whether it's a private preview, public preview, and you get a sense for where Microsoft is going. One of the things that I think people forget is when Microsoft starts to go someplace, that means that other things are going to be retired or left behind. There are, I want to say there's like 30 or 40 service retirements or deprecations or other various things that are occurring in Microsoft land. So I highly encourage everybody to go out and hit up the tech community and understand deprecations and retired services. Like I know one of the big ones that hit for us in storage over the last week here has been in February 2024, so 3 years from now. That's where you're seeing all these announcements come out now, is it's a three-year horizon to give customers notice to that these services are being retired and they potentially need to move to something else. Like, we're deprecating ADLS, Azure Data Lake Storage, Gen 1. And it's going to be kind of Gen 2 from here on out, right? So a new investments in features and things like that tend to target the new services, especially once we've announced that something is deprecated along the way. But there were tons and tons and tons of announcements like that. So I'd encourage folks to go check out like the TechNet community blogs to potentially find some of those. And I'll see if I can find a way to get like an easy search link or something in the show notes for those. But there was at least like 20 deprecations, if not like 30 or 40. It was a ton of fun.
Oh, it was a ton. Well, they were all going out on the same day. So maybe if you search for like February, because it was February 29, I believe, 2024. Because next 2024 must be a leap year. No. Was this your? I don't know. But yeah, I saw all those and it's like all the old Azure stuff is getting turned off in 2024. So get ready for that. The other one that I have seen a lot of announcements around recently is one that's coming much more quickly in August of this year. Maybe August 11? It's Internet Explorer 11. Maybe it's August 1, end of August. Sometime, August 2021, IE11 support for all the Microsoft 365 stuff is going away. And your interaction with Microsoft 365 may vary from service to service. Some services are just going to outright stop you from being able to log in. So if you're trying to do IE11 and just trying to log into Microsoft 365 stuff, you might just not even be allowed to do it. Some of it, you might be allowed to do it, but it's not going to work. End of the story is, if you're still using IE11 and you're using Office 365, Microsoft 365, you better start those plans to get off of IE11 now, because your user experience is going to fall off a cliff come later this year.
Yeah, you've had notice.
Yes, you have been warned. And I have had clients that are like, all right, we need to spin up this project to change our default browser to various browsers, usually to Chrome or to the new Edge.
Two other things, yeah.
Yes, new Edge, new Chrome, both of them are great. I've been using the new Edge and I really like several features that are in it. So I love my vertical tabs down the left side. Have you tried tab grouping yet? This is going to be a longer episode.
But I'm not running the dev build, so Dev or Canary. I'm still on the regular old crashy GA version.
Yeah, so if you get on Canary and it's not enabled by default, you have to go flip a flag to turn it on. You can actually group your tabs. So I have like a social grouping of tabs and I can put Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, all of those in it. And I can like minimize and expand this grouping of tabs so that I don't have the notifications in my face and I don't get distracted. So I am using vertical tabs on the left side. The pin tabs and the vertical are really nice. The grouping, and a lot of that's in other browsers too. Like Brave has some of it, Firefox has some of it, Chrome. So it's not unique to Edge, but that is just where I'm using it. And I like it. And with that, we can call our Ignite episode a wrap, I believe. I'm sure we'll talk about more of this too once we see demos. And there's always more details that come out post-Ignite about a lot of this stuff.
For sure.
But those are probably the features I am going to be going to look at and finding more details about are the ones that we just talked about. So that, go enjoy your weekend, Scott. I am sure we will be talking to you a lot next week during Ignite, which for all of our listeners is going to be, we just spent this last week talking a lot about Ignite.
Yeah, you got it.
With that, we'll call it a day. Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.